Want to just relax a little bit? If you relax and I'll relax, that'd be good. About a week ago, I was doing my Saturday grocery shopping, and I'm impressed with this message. The time to choose happiness is now. So I paused my squeezing of the tomatoes for a moment, and I said in my mind, is that for me, or is that for everybody? I mean, is that what I'm supposed to talk about next Sunday? And then I think I distinctly heard mild laughter and the comment, "Figure it out. We aren't going to tell you everything." So I mulled that over a little bit as I continued my shopping, and I thought, well, of course, everybody wants to be happy. That would be a great topic, but is it just as simple as just choosing to be happy? Can I just declare it and to the power of infinite spirit within, it's done? Yes, I thought, it is that simple, right? Right. According to Aristotle, happiness is the meaning and the purpose of life, the whole aim and the end of human existence. But being happy isn't just a lofty goal of ancient philosophers. According to the Happiness Project, contemporary research shows that happy people are more altruistic, more productive, more helpful, more likable, more creative, more resilient, more interested in others, friendlier, and healthier. Happy people make better friends, colleagues, and citizens. And in my own personal experience, and I know this to be true, last April, I took my mom back home to California, and she got to stay with and spend time with her boyfriend that she hadn't seen in over a year. And she had such a good time, and she was so supremely happy. And inside the memory care center where she attended, they do regular mental and physical tests. And my mom was tested prior to our trip to California, and then again after we returned. And even though she had Alzheimer's disease, she tested far higher, both physically and mentally, after her happy time with her boyfriend in California. And at the time, I found that quite remarkable because there's this expectation with Alzheimer's that you just go down, there's no up. And I felt really, really kind of glad that we made the effort to get her back to California. So that 10 days of happiness time really made all the difference in the world. She wasn't just walking around, she was kind of, skipping. I was relating this experience to a friend of mine, and I said, that just shows me that life is simple. Find what makes you happy and then do it. I mean, if being happy makes me mentally sharper, physically stronger, well, why would I want to spend any time being unhappy? I can see why people like Gretchen Rubin, the author of the best-selling book, The Happiness Project, would invest so much time in finding out, what makes you happy and then doing it. But the roadmap to happy is different with each person. So there isn't this set way to be happy. We each have to discover it for ourselves. It's sort of like spiritualism. We just don't give you everything. We don't say, go read this book and then you'll know everything. We say, read all the books and decide for yourself. Listen to spirit and decide for yourself. So happy is the same kind of way. We're not going to just give you the math and go, if you just do these five things, that's it. You have to discover it. But there are some basic truths about creating happiness. Our Declaration of Principles gives a little guide. Declaration number 7. We affirm the moral responsibility of individuals and that we make our own happiness or unhappiness as we obey or disobey nature's physical and spiritual laws. So, what does that mean in terms of happiness? It means we choose. We create our happiness by the way we choose to live, by the way we honor our highest ideals and live accordingly to them. This principle is addressing the spiritualist concept that not only do we create our own happiness, but we take responsibility for all our actions, the ones that make us happy and the ones that make us unhappy. This principle was the refuting of the Christian concept that Jesus would wipe away our errors or sins and take responsibility for us. This declaration is one that really separates us from the Christian religion. Spiritualism is saying, you have free will. You don't have to live a spiritual life. You can live exclusively pursuing wealth, power, and pleasure, and ignore your spiritual growth. You can live as you wish, but according to natural law, your actions will have equal reactions, and you are responsible for the outcomes, and only you. No one's going to wipe it all away and give you a clean slate when you want it. In my musings about being happy, I wondered, does it really make us happy to pursue wealth, power, and pleasure? And is it wrong? So I think if we look at our principles, we see that if we're living in accordance to God's natural laws, treating others as we wish to be treated, and taking care of our physical, mental, and spiritual bodies, then the outcomes we create are going to be positive. We're going to be abundant and healthy. And we're going to do well professionally. And we're going to have good relationships. So it isn't wrong to have these things in our lives. In fact, it's very right. And I think it's in the journey, though, that has value. How do we get from point A to point B? Are we enjoying the ride? If we aren't, then we need to ask ourselves, what can we do to change the ride? Is it merely our perspective that needs to change? Or should we just stop commuting to work and work from home? Is this the wrong job for us that we're commuting to in the first place? Are we using our strength? Recently, my cousin's wife told me about a website called Strength Finder. It's a quick test you can take to better see what your strengths and weaknesses are in order to better know yourself and perhaps to know what direction your career should take. So I just took this test a few days ago, and mine pointed out that due to my ethics, I should be in a job that aligns to them and that I wouldn't be happy unless I was working with ethical people who cared about the results as much as I did. And this made perfect sense to me. Perhaps we should all take this test to gain some insight about ourselves. Perhaps this might help us on the road to happy. We have major things in our life that occupy our time. Our family and our work are the main things. So if we aren't making the best of our work time, that leaves little joy left to share with our family. And what about family? Can't choose them, can we? Can't create them into perfection, can we? Everybody seems to think that their family is somehow more imperfect and more dysfunctional than all the others on the planet. And to some degree, it is simply a perception because our yards don't look like better homes and gardens, and our family doesn't look like the Cleavers. But guess what? No one has the perfect family. So it is just a matter of how we choose to deal with our family. Now, I've already said that we need to spend time with and support our family, no matter what. And that's true. Let our family know that no matter how they mess up or what they say, we'll always love them. But if someone in your family is really destructive and tears you down, then it might serve you to choose to stay away from them while letting them know you still love them, but you just need to keep your distance. Spiritualist pioneer Andrew Jackson Davis encouraged us to look to nature to answer life's philosophical questions. So I was looking out of my window and I see this bird, and he's sitting on this limb and he's chirping away. The bird seemed pretty happy, so I'm gonna just assume he's a happy bird. And why not? It was a glorious day. The rain the day before, the worms were plentiful, and I'm assuming that the bird, at least for the bird, it was all good. But then this blue jay comes along and he's not happy that this bird is on his turf. And so he's squawking him and he tells him to move it along, Buster, and they have a bit of a tiff. Well, now my bird doesn't appear so happy. But he shrugs it off. He flies over to another tree where the blue jay can see him, and he begins singing again. And I thought, well, I guess when you're really happy, a little conflict doesn't keep you down for long. You just pick up where you left off and you finish your song. And so I think we need a like a battery pack of happy and storage so that when we have to deal with conflict in life, we can just pick up our song later and keep singing. And I think it's important when we have conflict to ask for help. Ask for help when we need it. It's very assuring to know that spirit is within us, guiding us, loving us, healing us, and that we're part of this large spiritual community of children of God. We are all one. But when we feel separated, lonely, or a blue jay squawks at us, that's the time to ask spirit for help. And spirit will help. Spirit will help in ways we haven't even thought of. Spirit will send us the right person to say just the right thing. Spirit will help us notice the flowers in bloom. Spirit will whisper in our ear the thing we need to say to patch up a relationship or to write the book we were meant to write. Spirit will help when we ask. We just need to ask. Ask, and it is given. And so my message, the time to choose happiness is now. It is all about choosing happiness. Simply declaring, I'm happy. I choose happiness. I choose happiness even when blue jays squawk at me. I choose happiness even when commuters cut me off in traffic. I will return to my song and continue to sing it. Now, happy is a way of life. It's our spiritualist way of life, living in accordance to spirit's divine natural laws, creating our happiness through our own free will. Now you're thinking, ah, Pollyanna. We are not in denial that there will be conflict or challenge or change. We know this to be a part of life. It is our declaration that we are who we are, perfect children of God, no matter what. No matter how much we goof up, we know that spirit will continue to love us, and that makes us happy. We know that every day is a new beginning, that the doorway to reformation is never closed, and that makes us happy because we're not perfect human beings. We miss the mark. We forget sometimes who we are. We forget to be present. And being present is a requirement for being happy because if we're worried about the future or we're kind of stuck in the past, we miss the present moment and we miss that opportunity to be happy. It's easy to be unconscious and kind of float along. It really takes a decision to be mindful of each moment. And that is something to possibly think about cultivating for your road to happiness. My mom used to be a school teacher, and in the summer, she would call students during the break, and she would, because she said, they get bored. And she'd tell them about free concerts they could attend, and she'd encourage them to go to the library and read. She'd just cheer them up. And she said by doing this, she also cheered herself up. And by making others happy, she made herself happy. And I've often heard that the best way to be happy is to make others happy. So perhaps that could be part of your happy roadmap. Again, we all have to develop our own roadmap, but there are those basic principles to take a look at in developing your plan. I think it's important to realize how really loved you are and realize what a difference you make in the lives of other people. As in the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, if you take stock and realize what you have and what you are to other people, you find you do have a wonderful life and you can choose to be happy. Perhaps it's like that song, I'm looking over a four-leaf clover. I'm looking over a four-leaf clover. I overlook before 1924, right? I'm really old. One leaf is sunshine, the second is rain. Third is the roses that grow in the way. No need explaining, the one remaining is somebody I adore. I'm looking over a four-leaf clover, I overlook before. So we have all these elements in life that make us happy, but perhaps we sometimes overlook that. When we stop and see what is already there, we not only choose happiness now, we embrace it. God bless you.